You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Okay, if you love The Office, 30 Rock, and Parks and Rec...
And really, who doesn't?
Well, you need to check out Trial and Error.
Ooh, they're calling this show a murder mystery wrapped up in a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Witty, smart, hilarious, John Lithgow starring as a man who looks pretty guilty.
Okay, check out this clip from the show.
Where were you the night Margaret was murdered?
I went to get gardening supplies.
Fantastic. I'm sure they have security video.
One shovel, one tarp, and let's throw in this ski mask.
Trial and Error premieres after The Voice, tomorrow on...
NBC!
Today on Men Calls the Heart, we talk about friends, family, and showdowns. And we have special guest Paul Green in the studio. Don't go anywhere, hearties.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hearties. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV.
It's our song.
It is our song.
So it's like you're lifting a child or something. I'm ready to present.
We are here doing season 4, episode 4, Change of Heart. Here we go.
There we go.
Wow. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
We got it.
Beautiful.
Congratulations.
Yes. Everyone, we have special guest Paul Green in studio.
Hello.
Hey. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for joining us. Your new character, Carson Shepherd, just came to town.
Yes, he did.
Where can everyone follow you on social media?
Yes, on Twitter, it's Paul Green Media. On Instagram, it is PG Tipper with two P's. It was a nickname when I was a kid. Because my
like the T?
Yeah, because PG
Tips.
Is my initials. And then PG Tip, PG Tipper. PG Tip Top Hippopotamus.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. And then on Facebook is just Paul Green. There's my personal one, and there's that I don't go too much. Okay. And then the fan page one, which is easier to find.
Go to fan page one.
That's awesome. The one you want to go to, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And James?
You can follow me at James Law Jr. all over the world. Just Google my name and I'm come up. And I will come, I'll be in your presence.
Yep, and I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter, at Serafini TV. Of course, Maria's not here.
Yes, you were asking already, she couldn't be here today.
Unfortunately, she's sick.
The flu
got
love.
The best out of everyone.
Well, she's not the only one. There's a lot of people out there.
I know.
Yeah,
everyone's like dropping
And if you have
like
small
flies.
Kids, you get sick a lot sometimes. You just pass it around. She has a small to the sun.
Yes, uh-huh. So our love out to Maria.
Yes, our hearts out to Maria.
Our hearts out
Very
to
good,
Maria.
Very good, kids. Our hearts. That's right.
So great. A change of heart. Real quick thoughts. James.
Again, I don't know what's going on this season, but there's a lot happening this season.
Yeah.
So they're packing it. I mean, we've been getting like, usually there's like an A and B story. On this show, maybe A, B, and C story, but there's like A through F.
Yeah, you're right.
Seriously, we got introduced to like a new couple, kind of, in the middle of all this stuff going on, Murphy, and it's like so it's kind of, we'll talk about that in a second, but just like, it's kind of funny how it's like, there's a lot of stuff going on everywhere. You know, yeah, so it's for me, true. It's like, I watched it twice, and I still like, think if I'm going to watch it one more time, like, it's just so much stuff going on, but I loved it.
Yeah. So Paul, now you have come to Hope Valley and to this show. What are your thoughts about this episode?
I actually messaged Robin, one of our writers, today, and I was like, I just loved what you did and how it turned out. Because, you know, when you originally read the script, and then sometimes what you see on camera can be two really mm-hmm. different things from what they edit, what they cut out, and what they have to squeeze for time, and sometimes how you think it should be, and then what it looks like. I thought it was just awesome. It was moved really quick, and like you said, there's many, many stories, and it's in such an ensemble piece. And
Very much. Lots of
surprises, and I came in with a bang.
You did. We had two people came in, kind of introduced with a bang last night.
We did. Let's start this episode with a bang, shall we?
Yes.
Carson, your character comes into town, saves a little girl, which is like already honorable and heroic. So good on you. Good on you.
Yeah. But you were kind of tired afterward. You kind of hurt a little bit afterwards.
No, not tired.
It was kind of funny. I'm going to sit here.
I broke a rib, man.
But you're like a strong man. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I cracked a rib on some gravel. That Hope Valley Main Street is got some chunky pieces of gravel. And, the concern and what stuns me is I can no longer work at the railroad.
Right.
Like, that's what that moment's all about.
We're surprised by that.
Yeah. And so the world's kind of crashed down on Carson in that moment. And I'm happy I saved that little girl, or at least her doll. It's a good thing. The doll didn't get hurt. But, I was laying there on the ground. Now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And there's so much about Carson that will be revealed in the next several episodes that will make it all make sense. A lot of this stuff, which I can share none of.
Okay. Yeah, you're already laying that down right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't want me to. Okay. Truly. It would be like a sugar rush. You'd be like, oh, that's so great. And then you'd hate me because I gave you like cotton candy and you're crashing from it because no sustained value in giving you a spoiler. Nobody wants a spoiler. They want information.
Yes, they do want information, but we can't spoil it.
No spoil.
But if you want to spill some, you can. It's just us.
It's a spoil-free zone here. But it's not a spill-free zone? Okay, I got it.
Everyone who's watching us, so we can assume that they've already watched the episode, so...
That's right.
Hopefully.
So we can.
Yeah, hopefully you did. Hopefully you did.
Hopefully.
That's a good question.
Sorry.
You almost sounds like you're saying Hope Valley, but you're saying hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hope Valley. We're in the valley where it's 91 degrees here, by the way.
We are in the valley.
And where we live on the other side of town, it's like 65.
65.
And it's somewhere between 12 miles and 20 miles.
20 miles. We're trying to figure that out right now.
So it's hot.
Guys can't
here
handle
in
the
Burbank.
Yeah, we can't. No, not,
no.
I live near water. I like water.
It's nice.
It sure was not hot when we were filming this episode.
Oh, you probably was cold.
What time during the year was this?
We got started.
Summer, winter?
No, it was coming into October already. September, October, November, and we had so much snow at the end that they had to like digitally remove some of it, which you're not gonna see yet.
Yeah.
But that's towards the end of it. There was so much snow, and they're talking about moving our filming forward a bit so we can avoid some of that snow.
I see.
Cold. So cold in Canada.
We were there. It wasn't bad though.
It wasn't that bad.
Like 40s.
Yeah, it wasn't super cold there. We were there. I'm sure it could be colder. I'm sure it could have been.
Yeah, it can be colder.
It was colder.
Yeah, it was colder.
Yeah, but my thing with your character, Carson, it seems like he knows some medical stuff.
Does he have
a medical history?
Oh, well, that's just one of those things that, I can't tell you.
But I love how you stopped yourself. The character stopped. Like, well, I mean, it's like,
yeah, I mean you're gonna see. I have a very diverse, complicated history in Carson. It ain't just one thing that's going on with him. It's many, many, many things that cause me to have lots of secrets and lots of mystery, and nothing's really straightforward until things do come out bit by bit. It's an unraveling. It's an onion.
Multi-layer.
It's very multi-layer.
We're going to cry, too, at the same time?
Probably. You probably will
at some point.
Well, there was another point in this episode where you had a picture that Faith returns to you. What is the picture? Is it your wife? We know your character is a widow. Is it? I have a feeling it's your wife that you're probably holding on to.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there was an edited part.
I love these things. You're good.
Skirt around this.
Yeah,
there was a picture.
I could see how you would think it would be my wife.
Okay.
I could totally see that. And it would make sense if I was a widower that it was my wife. There was a camera angle that actually revealed who the picture was, and they must have edited it out.
We didn't see it.
Nobody saw it. But it was there.
But you know what it is.
Somewhere, yeah, in the extended. I wish I could tell you.
Her predictions are coming true. So
I know.
You may be right,
Marissa. Predictions are like scary spot on.
I know. Yeah, her this season. They've been really good.
So far, they have been.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe.
Well, yeah.
So maybe.
Well, maybe. you could be exactly true.
What, I feel like you're messing with me right now.
I feel like I'm messing with you too.
Yeah. Okay, so Carson, your character should be really fun to watch, though, and because he seems already, you know, sad, somber about something. Yeah. And we have yet to find out what it is.
It was a rough time in history. I mean, there was a lot going on. Just yes. you, what we take for granted, shooting off a text or finding our way to Culver City in 12 miles away. We can get there in, you know, without traffic 20 minutes. It would take days to get and have to face bandits and have to face, you know, the plague or whatever. Yep. We take for granted that they're just, you know, came out of their air-conditioned room and they're happy-go-lucky. Yeah. There's a lot that it took back then, and that was a fun part, was doing the research on what, especially towards the end of the episode where I go in and I tell Abigail that I used to work the chuck wagons at the railroad. I researched what those were, and they're like the food trucks back then. And it was so interesting to go back and listen to the music. And me, one of the things I like to do as an actor is have music with from that time that helps me sort of get into the space of what I'm doing. So depending on, you know, the pictures and the feeling of the time and the music, and doing like watching old documentaries and just to find out really what it meant to work on a food truck, a chuck wagon, which was their food trucks for the railroad. So that when I tell Abigail that I would, you know, work the chuck wagons at the railroad, I'm not just saying a bunch of words on a page. It's actually like I had these images. I'm like, wow. And, you know, my grandmother was alive back then.
Wow.
And my grandma has all these stories about what Alberta was like, which is you know, that part of Canadiana or the frontier, you know, the Western world.
Right.
And asked her about, because she was around when there was horses and buggies and
Fascinating.
So yeah, there was more somber dudes around back then who'd lost their wives to the simplest things a dang cold. How depressing.
Life expectancy isn't that high back then.
No. Certainly not. You hope you don't get a toothache. You could die. They yank it out. You can get infected, and that's the end of your like hopes and dreams for a family. So yeah, there's a, you know, so Carson has good reason to be a little somber, which you will find out here.
Okay.
So so hi to all the Hardys who are watching.
Yes, shout them out.
So Kelly Fogg, Jennifer Carter, Nicole Tara.
Paul, would you like to shout them out?
Yeah.
I think they'd appreciate it.
Of course, look at who's here. Hi, everybody. Nicole Chalpera. Well, that's the first time I've ever heard that word in my life, Chalpera. Michelle Randall. Hi, Christine Frandelberg. Where are you guys? Where's Christine from?
I don't know. We'll find out. Ask you. Tell us.
Hardys, let us know.
Where are you guys from?
Lori McKinney, Lori Pearson.
Well, you do it Lee faster Beth. Than me, don't you?
Nancy.
Lee Beth. Well, it's hard to see. They're so small.
Lori Pearson. I heart knit.
Yeah, that's another one.
She likes to knit.
She likes to knit. Wow. Yes. She heart knitting.
Yeah.
Hi, Hardys. Yes.
Hi, Hardys.
But someone's asking you if you really work on your backstory, which you basically told you he was working on his backstory.
As an actor, that's the best part. Yeah. And it's the difference between you watching someone and feeling nothing and watching something and being completely taken in by what they're doing because they've done all the work.
Right.
And they're in that moment with a story and with all the steps it took them to actually get to that moment and to say those words. They're not just memorizing. Memorizing is the smallest part for us actors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you put emphasis on the memorizing the words, you're in trouble. The work is, the lines just come. And I love to read over and over and play with and like read the script over and over again and watch videos and listen to music while I'm doing that. Like listen to music while I'm reading these scripts so it puts me in that time.
And interesting.
It's super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also you're coming from a real place, not just playing some idea of what someone back then might have wanted. You know.
That's interesting. Did you actually put on the music and get yourself in that movie? Like you're creating a reality.
I'm walking Hope Valley Main Street with Bluetooth headphones and listening
at Westfield Culver City. At the mall.
Yeah. Hey, that's a great place.
You were just there.
Well, Hope Valley City. For cracking ice when I'm there.
Well, speaking of music.
Yes.
You yourself are a musician as well, which we found out, which is a nice, lovely surprise.
Yes.
And you also brought us a lovely surprise today.
I did. I brought my guitar.
You brought your guitar, so you're
hiding. Would you guys want to hear him?
Do you want to hear a little ditty? Paul? perform for us?
Yes.
This is a surprise to us, too. Yeah, yeah, we're really excited.
It's exciting. So.
We might as well, because we got to get at least one song.
Yes, one song.
Why not?
Though this is a nice treat for you guys.
Well, music is a big part of my life. That's why I use it also for getting in character or listening to music. Well, like I told you, I'm preparing for these things. And I also have my guitar with me always. Like, always. Back when I lived in New York, it was on the subways, and I would play on the subway trains.
Wow.
Because I lived in Brooklyn, it would take me about 30 minutes to get in. Mm-hmm. I would stand there, and I would sing songs. And I would mostly sing gospel songs. And people would try to give me money and be like, no. I wasn't busking. Oh. I was actually singing to brighten people's day. And
good acoustics down there, too.
Yeah, well, this was on the trains. Well, moving.
On the train.
Yeah, I wasn't in the I wasn't actually in the...
Wow.
No, I was moving.
So what is the name of this song?
This song is called Place in My Heart.
Awesome, you guys.
Fitting.
And it is a song that I wrote a long, long time ago. And it's actually about God, this song. There was a period in my life, a solid 10 years, where I lived like a monk lifestyle.
Wow.
And every song I wrote, everything I read was committed and connected to my relationship with God, including my music. And this is... So they're all kind of like all these love songs to God that I wrote when I was like 20.
Wow.
This is one of them. I got a place in my heart for you. I've moved some things around, things that cluttered up my thoughts of you are now lying on the ground, and you will always be here. You will always be here, no matter where I go or how far I feel. Your love is real. Round and around and around I go, the same old maze as before. Lost in the places I found in you, where's the open door? And you will always be here. You will always be here, no matter where I go or how far I feel.
Every week.
Sure, why not?
Thank you for that.
They said thank you, and thank you. That was great.
That was beautiful.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
Can I get a little more of my headphones?
Yes.
She'll turn you.
Raising the
mic. Checking. There we go.
Sound better?
This sounds great.
Technology, you guys.
Technology.
That was so good. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For sure. That's great.
Well, what else is there to say? But we have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk later. Bye. That's it. Right. Drop the mic.
So, and if we're lucky, we might get another performance.
Yes. All right.
Let's talk about Abigail now. Abigail dealt with a lot of strong men in this episode.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about her and Ray, first of all.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, James, now that Ray... like, pretty much got Gowan
back in
charge.
Here's what's funny to me. On this show, suddenly we have a lot of leading men.
Ugh. Like leading alpha men.
Yeah, it's a lot. Don't you feel like it's a lot all of a sudden here? So Abigail really has to, like, stand up to a lot of different people.
It's true.
She does. Yeah. And now you're going to work for her, too, now? It's kind of like... I mean, at least first time I see it coming, you'd be working at the cafe. I didn't see that coming at all.
That was a surprise to me as well.
I was like, oh, you're at the cafe.
But
like,
you can cook.
You can cook. So we're thinking, well, you might be at the infirmary maybe or something, but no, you're at the cafe. So Abigail has yet another man besides Bill, and she's dealing with Ray, who and really is just like, well, he's not good. But Gowan, that's the one we threw. I mean, that's the...
Right. Gowan. Okay, so...
They had a showdown there. It's all showdowns. Yeah.
Gowan's charges were dropped.
Like, where did that
he
come from?
He is now mayor again, and he's already giving Ray everything that he wants. They don't have to pay taxes anymore.
Well, don't you think that Ray just paid someone off for him? Of course.
Had to.
That's what I was thinking.
We think so.
Yeah, we think so. Had to.
I mean, that's how this is dropped.
Bill thinks so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill thinks so.
Bill thinks so. I think so.
What do
you guys think?
You guys think so?
I love how Bill was like, oh, this is so payoff. Jesus, I'm going to do something about
it. He didn't get a Hardee's mug, you guys.
You can use mine. Mine's empty.
Yours is empty. Yeah. We'll bring it on over.
But yeah, you guys.
It's literally there for show, you guys.
Really? Well, is it clean?
Yeah, it's clean.
It's from my desk this morning.
Great, great. Well, we'll transfer my other water.
See, look at Versus. Lucky, isn't that?
Look at that. We talked about this, Hardee's.
We were planned.
Where do we get Paul a Hardee's mug?
The Hardee's mug, guys.
I didn't get a tote bag at the Home and Family reunion.
You didn't get a tote bag, you guys. We got to figure that out for you.
Erin Krakow asked me to say hi to you guys.
We love Erin.
She messaged me right before I got Kate walked in the door. She goes, have fun today.
We love Erin.
We love that. Erin, you're always welcome.
You're always welcome. She's on the show last year. She's welcome to come anytime.
Yes.
How can you not love her?
So what is it like working with her?
Oh, wow. She's amazing. You know, she's Juilliard-trained actress. Do you know this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you guys know this.
We had her on the show.
Oh, and you guys talked about that? Which is great. Which is like, you know, but she's still... So she's classically trained, but she's also very in the moment and super present. It's my favorite thing when you're acting with somebody and you forget where you are. Like you are actually so in the moment, and that happened with her a couple times through this season, where you get, and that's what I love the most about acting, when you have those moments that you're so in the moment that you forget that you're saying words on a stage and there's 25 people watching and you just have a real connection with them, and then you snap out of it when they yell cut and you're like, whoa.
What did I even
say? So many times, and I'm just a miracle that I said the right words, because I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just listening.
We kind of miss it all the time when she does. When they give her a really good meaty scene, like, she's so good.
She's so captivating. Like, you can't help but forget the world and just focus on whatever she's doing or saying.
She was exceptional in this episode too. She's just she's terrific.
I'm sorry, I said this last yesterday in the tweet. I'm like, she's so pretty. Like, whenever she comes on screen, it's like, you're so pretty.
And her outfits look so cool.
They do.
They look so narrow at the waist. I'm like, I don't even think they make them like that anymore. It looks like from that time.
I know.
The way her dress is, our costume department is incredible.
But Ray is not good, obviously. He could be good, I think, if something good happens in his life. But right now, he's just kind of following what the railroad is telling him.
Uh-huh.
And so, which is what life happens.
Yeah.
And him and Gowan are now thinking thieves. Now, it's clear they're thinking thieves now at this point.
Oh, for sure. I don't like how, because I predicted that Gowan was going to listen to Ray.
Yeah, you did. You said it.
Yeah. Or Ray was going to listen to Gowan. You know, back and forth.
How about that crazy teaser about next episode at the end? Do you guys talk about those?
Yeah, but
we'll get to that. We'll try not to jump that.
We'll get
I had forgotten about that.
I was going to say, it's kind of been doing Abigail's showdown.
Abigail had her fallouts with some of the men, but she had her, you know, she got back with Frank.
Yes. Pastor Frank.
I was excited about this. Good on Cody to getting them back together.
Cody and Rosemary are so much fun together.
It's
true.
They were so much fun. It was like so funny to see them together. But just quickly, I want to go back to you. Abigail, I was getting mad at her at first. I was like, why is she more upset? Even Liz was like, why are you so calm? She's like, stop making those cookies or muffins and get out there and see something.
Yeah.
And then she did.
Oh, she did. She got heated.
She did.
She
stared him down.
Oh, that's what I loved it. And I was kind of like a threat. Like, it's like, no, you watch
yourself.
Abigail. You go,
girl. Who runs the world?
Oh.
Girls.
What? Girls. Who runs the world, girls?
Girls, that's right.
Absolutely. Especially it was International Women's Day recently.
Yeah, she stood her ground.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she did.
She's an incredible actress to work with.
Lori.
Yeah, Lori.
Oh, you just looking at her, once again, you get lost. It's this crew, and this cast, rather, and the crew. They're an incredible crew. But this cast is just amazing. Like, Jack is so fun. He's such a nut. Like, in person. Like a nut. Like, you just laugh and laugh. And he plays pranks all the time. So, and
oh, he does.
Takes you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, he's constantly, like, my first, like, 2 months there, he's going, one of the drivers talking to one of our drivers, and he's like, And the driver was talking about me, and he kept going, which one's Paul again? And he kept doing it, like, oh, pretending to me and to everyone that he forgot who I was. And then we got stuck. Jack and I got stuck in the hugest snowstorm between, because we filmed way outside of Vancouver, like almost an hour.
Yeah.
And there was so much snow, and I had my guitar in the back, and he plays.
Right.
And up to that point, we hadn't had much time together, so we were stuck for like 3 hours on the freeway, and we were just passing the guitar back and forth and singing, and that really connected us together. He's hilarious. He's absolutely hilarious, and a super great actor.
And you talk about people who, like him, Lori, went around for a long time in the business.
Yeah, it's not their first job, is it?
No. Oh, yeah. No, not at all. But I mean, but it makes it nicer, too, because they get it, right? They get it. They've been around for a long time.
And they give it.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, they give it. Laura gives so much. She's super generous, and she listens. Like, I think that's one of the biggest things acting is listening. And when you're working with somebody who's really talented and skilled, they're just amazing listeners. Mm-hmm. That allows what you're saying to just land. So you feel great because you're actually speaking to somebody and they're hearing it.
Yeah.
And you feel connected and authentic because your words are landing. When people are thinking and preloading their gun about what they're about to say back to you with their words, it's the worst.
Interesting.
And so acting, there's a free falling, like there's a big trust involved, because when someone's speaking to you, you just listen. But your temptation is to load your words because you don't want to mess up, because you have 40 people depending on you to make lunch. So you have to trust and do all your work beforehand, that you can just be there in the moment and listen and trust that what you're meant to say will be there and not think about it. It's like jumping through fire sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite the skill set to have, and you know, and to keep honing that skill in acting, and let alone, you know, be in the moment but also be professional as well, because you are still working.
Totally.
You have to strike that balance.
It really, and it just comes with working. It's just like 10,000 hours. Like, you get better and better at what you do here.
Right.
The more you do it. And the same with anything. The more I pick up my guitar, the more fun and natural and the better I become at it. And same with acting. It's just, if you're one of the fortunate actors that gets to work, you just keep getting better and better because you're working. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy that. I enjoy that so much, especially your story with Dan. That's fun. I don't think a lot of people know that.
No.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's quickly talk about Rosemary and her unexpected matchmaking with Cody for Murphy and Katie Hose.
I was like, it's so fun. It's like we get a little storyline. A new couple, I guess, emerging.
I like how it was originally supposed to be for Abigail and Frank, but it ended up being for this new couple.
Even
amongst everything.
A little hijinks.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Unexpected serendipitous, really.
Yes, it was.
I really
good
enjoyed
word.
That.
Good word. I like the word. But I liked seeing Carter and Pascal work together. It's kind of fun. Yeah. Good to work with a kid.
Well, we've had a few cute moments in last season, season 3, with those two together, and I think that really worked well, that they keep adding more into this season.
I loved when he, at the very end, when Carter looks over and sees Frank and Abigail kissing. I don't know if anybody noticed, I'm sure some hearties did, but his back leg started like kind of twitching.
Yeah, kicking.
Just like kind of like an excited kid would be. I don't know if he meant to do that, but it just happened, and that moment where he looked over and he was so excited was so cute. We caught his back legs like flapping like a dog.
I noticed it too.
He was very cute.
So
but I liked them together. I liked what happened. It was a fun little... To mix the drama, you gotta have some kind of comedy and comedic stuff happen. And so Rosemary's always good for that anyway.
It's very much true to character. And I love how every time she dabbles into other people's personal problems, she usually does it out of heart. Because that's her character. Like, she does it to help people, not to just nosy. She actually wants to truly do something.
Well, she thinks she can help.
Yeah.
She's like, I can help. That's what she thinks. I can help. I'm a vice cop. I can help.
And she's the one that ended up asking Katie for Murphy's voice.
That was so cute. That was cute.
She like went right behind him and said the words.
Yes, and he was on his knee. I like that. It was very cute.
That was a great moment. She's incredible.
Another beautiful one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too hard to look at.
Exactly. It was like,
or listen to. Like, her eyes, just the way she speaks. Yes. And we were at the Air Canada Lounge after... like coming back to Vancouver after we have these big events here for Hallmark and for the press, the EPK things. What are they called? TCAs. And we were on the way back. And my son was flying back with me. This was going back to shoot the movie I just finished with Danica McKellar.
Oh, yes.
Campfire Kiss.
Yes.
And Barbara Niven.
And Barbara.
I love Barbara.
And
Barbara and I are friends.
And Allie. Are you friends with
her? Yeah, she's been here twice, sitting where you sat right sitting. Now.
She's great.
No, she's amazing. I love her.
I got to work with her before in the film I did with Candace Cameron
Christmas.
Oh, look at you.
She knows all of them.
I should have just let you answer.
No, it's better when you do it.
I love Hallmark.
And
you have no idea.
Do you really?
I do.
So do I.
Yeah, Hallmark's the bomb.
That's great. And Allie Scobie, who plays my daughter in Campfire Kiss, is also, on One Cause a Heart.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she, and also, it is, so anyway, we were flying back and I got to hang out with her on the plane and my son. And she, just chatting with her, she's just so filled with life.
Yes. I got to interview her at the party thing too, and I was just kept staring at her. I'm like, you're just so pretty and so nice.
So pretty. Yeah, and the pretty comes from inside.
Yeah, not sure I missed my meme by that. I'm just saying, it's like, you can look at this, we're in LA, we see all these pretty people all the time who have nothing. But she has something behind her eyes. You said her eyes, that's what it is.
She's alive.
I like that.
Yeah, she's fun. Oh, yeah, well, what was another fun story in this episode? Doug, the Mounties come.
Yes, the Mounties.
The Mounties come to Hope Valley. We have Constable Doug, who's actually a friend of Jack's.
Yes.
That was quite the introduction.
Yeah, oh, that was another one.
Oh, you should not push Jack. You should have known better.
I like that. It was another big shock. I'm like, oh my God, where'd I come from?
Do you guys know? Do you know about him?
No, this is
Anthony, and he played in my first film with Danica called Perfect Match, and he played my cousin in it, and I help him plan their wedding with Danica. We both are wedding planners, and he, while we were doing that, got X-Men and 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh my God.
50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades... No, the first one, 50 Shades Grey. And he's an incredible guy. We bonded, and we became fast friends. Mm-hmm. And he comes to L.A. for pilot season and stuff, but he's Canadian. Awesome. And, it's funny, the world that Hallmark... Small.
Yeah.
Small
it,
world.
It is.
It is very small.
For tall people.
He is tall. Did you not notice?
He's a giant.
He's like towering over Jack.
Yes.
Jack is pretty tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw that too. He was towering over Jack, wasn't he? All right. I'm always looking for male hearties. But tell the men why they should watch the show. Because scenes like that are very male. I mean, are male. Like the Tate Bros, all this. Very male oriented on those scenes.
So you want me to tell men
hearties why they should watch the show?
Well, it's a little presumptuous for me to tell anyone why they should watch my show. Yes. But if I was held over a bumblebee microphone.
You are held over a bumblebee microphone.
There's the Wild West element to this show. There's incredibly beautiful women to watch on this show.
Yes,
and there is the element of the Wild Wild West in Frontierland that if you grew up watching like Little House on the Prairie
or Bonanza, any of those
westerns, it does it really well. It's a period piece and the men get to do pretty great things, hunt down bandits, and there's people who try, there's riders on the horizon being shot from up in the hills. So there's that sense of adventure and danger and beautiful women.
That's right.
Yeah. To watch.
Yes.
And
do really
men.
Interesting things. There's a lot of men on right now.
There's a lot right now. It's great.
We saw the men showdown in this episode as well.
Yes,
we did. The women had the verbal showdown, and then the men had the actual physical takedowns.
That's right.
With the whole, we finally got the Tate Brothers.
We did.
With the bank.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm glad that's over with.
Yeah, me too.
It's not a story that was
you
like.
You think
looming.
It's over?
Oh, there we go.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
I'd like to think that this situation is resolved.
I would love for you to think that.
Okay.
So now the other thing, of course, do you think Jack is having? Well, we're going to talk the preview later, but is he having second thoughts?
Totally. Or he's regretting it
because he made a decision.
His face, every time you see him and talking to Doug and after conversations, and he just. Sees the Mounties, roll out of town. You can tell his face; he's just sad.
I love that moment when the Mounties they cut the camera higher. You see the Mounties about to leave, and everybody's waving. You see Jackson. I was like, that was a great scene.
Great shot. I do have a prediction about that. But
I know you do, girl.
What's your prediction?
We'll save it.
Are you going to save it for when
later?
Save prediction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a prediction time.
Yes.
Ooh, is there a special sign?
The lights flicker and all that.
Yes, there is.
Prediction time.
Exactly.
That's close. That's someone you're close.
Do it. Yeah.
You're close.
Cool. We'll save that for later.
Later.
Okay. Because I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, we don't want to. Okay, yeah,
don't want to. You know, because you know it's 100% accurate, even though it's just your prediction.
Yeah. I'd like to think
it's 100%. She's been right this
season. Basically a spoiler, your prediction.
I don't want to call it a spoiler, but maybe I'm just intuitive.
Maybe.
You're intuitive. Like that.
All right. But yeah, we saw Doug. I like Doug.
I like him.
And he was really nice to Elizabeth, dancing.
Most of the folks didn't like that, though.
Oh.
Because they were dancing. They were just dancing as friends.
But Jack was right there.
Yeah,
he approved.
It's fine. I thought it was fine.
Like, he's one of the first men that came into town that I'm not threatened that can ruin their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a recurring theme, isn't it? That they're threatening that relationship. There's a lot of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of concern over that.
Oh, there's a lot of concern.
No matter who, like, if she chats up someone too long, there's trouble.
Well, you know, because her and Niall, of course, did a movie together.
Which they think that Shane could mess up.
Shane could mess up. I mean, there's so many men there. It's like so crazy.
Yeah, right.
Because he's really close. Because little Philip hunts her now.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
I cried on that scene. I cried when he hugged his son.
I loved how Elizabeth went up to Shane and be like, you need to show the proper affection and time towards your son. He needs a father figure right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's really realistic, and I feel so many families go through this right now. They just need the proper parenting.
I agree with you. It's not something they teach you. It's something you kind of got to figure out if you weren't lucky enough to have parents that gave you a really excellent example. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, you just sort of do what you saw. You know, unless you do the work and you relearn how to take care of this. I have a son. I have a 13-year-old boy that I'm incredibly in love with being a father and learning from what my parents did right and also correcting some of the things that they learned from their parents. So their parents, they're born in the war and in Holland, like, and occupied. Like, so they got their affection meter is a lot different. They were trying to survive, not trying to take care of someone's little feelings. Mm-hmm. They were trying to survive, make sure they had enough potatoes stirred up. Like, I'm not exaggerating. So it's a totally different thing that you learn. But that moment when the little boy, I forget his name. Do you guys know? Philip? Looks up at Niall's character, and he doesn't know if he's in trouble or not. He's like, that little boy is great.
Oh, he's so I was crying.
All these kids.
The thoughts that he had when his dad looked up, he's like, you could tell he wasn't just like expecting to be hugged. He was like, there was a flash thought, what did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible.
I agree.
It was a great moment.
And I think, it was funny, because I'm a father also. They're liking your stories. Paul's so good with his son. Terrific duo. But you know, I like the fact, cause for me, there's things men have to learn sometimes. We're not intuitive. We don't have with us that some mothers get sometimes.
That's true.
And I think, and so we have to kind of, we can learn it. It's not we can't learn it. We can learn it. And I think we don't have it in us, period. It has to be brought out.
It's a first generation. It's actually expected of us.
Right. I agree.
It really had, totally wasn't, it was just men were there to like take care of things
exactly.
And put food on the table and protect from invading intruders.
No, right. Exactly.
And now men are expected to do everything, to know how to cook, to know how to talk about feelings.
Yes, right. Right. No,
to,
I know.
To
and
hug.
Act upon them, actually.
But then they're also, it's a tricky time for men because I really believe in the difference and polarity of masculine and feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And women are demanded to be much more masculine, and men are being demanded to be much more feminine.
Yes.
What happens is you get neutral relationships. The polarity, the magnetism, and that's why, from my perspective and books that I've read about this topic, why relationships are struggling and people get married for like a year and then they're over, is there's so much pressure on the... not every man has a natural masculine core either. Some men have a ton of feminine energy, and feminine is the ocean, is music, is dance, is powerful. Masculine is like stillness, like nothingness, like meditation and watching television is masculine energy.
Yeah.
But that's it's such an interesting time, and so for this character, for Niall's character to back then have to reach in 1912 to know to do that, it takes someone like Elizabeth to tell them. We don't even know. They didn't know.
They didn't know.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And just the fact that the son grew up believing that he's the cause for his mother's death, that's such a sad belief.
Thing to hold on to.
It's like, for someone so young, you should not be thinking that at all.
Right.
But it's also sad that Shane didn't realize that that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somewhere, maybe Shane's character did blame him a little bit. We don't know all the circumstances around it. So there might be some information that we don't know.
And it's a tough situation. I mean, you know, somebody dies in childbirth or whatever. I mean, I'm sure as a husband, you have so many different feelings. But then he's also the father of this child. So it must be just really tough. I don't know. Yeah. For me, I have daughters. They force me to be sensitive.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different thing.
I have grandsons now, but I didn't have boys. I had girls. And they made me kind of, over the years, be sensitive. They kind of forced it out of me. They demanded it out of me.
Yeah, it's a lot easier for me as a man to have, like, strong boundaries with my son because he's my son. But if he was my daughter,
it
would just melt my heart. And I'd be like, I know I said you can't
do
that. Yeah,
exactly. That happens.
But when you look at me like that, I think maybe you can do that. Just don't tell your mom.
Exactly.
But with my son, I'm like, no.
Right.
You know what I said, and that's not going to change.
And that's it. Right.
Yeah. Because he's a boy.
He's a boy.
But yeah. I think, and he still melts my heart. But I do, when I say something, I don't go back on it.
Good.
I do not go back against my word. It isn't easy.
It isn't easy.
But I take the time to make sure that I don't set some weird boundary that I'm going to regret later. I take a little extra time. And there's the other time I have to apologize and be like, look, I know I said you can't do that. I was being a little dramatic.
What, after being dramatic? No. Yeah.
That's what I blame it on.
Right.
So I'm like, we're going to back that boundary up a little bit. And then my high school volleyball coach, who was also the vice principal, my only ally in my youth, I was in trouble all the time.
Okay.
I called him up, and I was having trouble with my son in school when he was in grade one or two. And he said, you know what I did, Paul, he was in Kenya and he ran an international school.
Oh, wow.
And they asked him to come into the school and take over for a year, but don't change any rules. And he got there and he goes, okay, I won't. But he's the most incredible principal ever. And he got there and all the bad kids were being shamed and blamed and they were bullying and they were being suspended and expelled. And he brought in the system that he taught me to regulate my own son to help him come up with solutions to his problems. He taught the kids in the high school to come up with their own consequences for their actions. So when they disobeyed or went against the school's policies, they had to come up with their consequence.
Interesting.
And I applied that to my son, and my son's consequences are miles worse than mine.
Oh.
He's like, I'm going to go to bed without dinner, and my skateboarding will be gone for a month. I'm like,
oh,
I'm like, no.
Not that serious.
Let's come up with the consequence that fits your action.
Right.
And it took me away from being this dominating fear thing that he's afraid of to, like, we're in this together. Let's find a way for you to not do that thing, because that wasn't working.
Yeah.
You come up with the consequence that helps you not do that again. And it's helped. That's helped, like, great. But, you know, my parents, their parents never, that's not something they would do. They brought up the belt. They brought up the belt.
Same here. Same here.
Give me a whooping.
Same here. Talk to your death first, too, and then beat you. I'm like, just beat me already. Stop talking to your death.
don't.
Like, can you stop talking? Just beat me, please.
And you know in Hope Valley there was belts.
I'm sure it was. Well, I'm sure it was.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a spanking episode.
I'm kind of glad there isn't.
Wasn't the time period.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I love that. Like, that's a great principle to have, because that allows also your son to, you know, set boundaries and realize, like, how he can grow as a person.
And
I think give him a little freedom.
It really is great.
Yeah.
And I think the age of 8 is when kids start to reason. So I think much sooner than that, you still have to guide them.
Yes.
But you teach them self-discipline and self-respect. And it's just beautiful. Anyway, that Larry Ethier is one of my heroes. He's my coach and my
just shout out to him.
Yeah.
Good.
He's incredible. Really. To this day, still a good friend.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Elizabeth was incredible in this episode, too.
She's great. I want to be
also,
my teacher.
Telling off Ray.
Oh, I know.
In like a really strong way. She did come across pretty strong.
Yes.
But she did get a result in the end, saying that the railroad aren't, you know, pulling their weight. They're like there's overcrowding in the school. There's not enough resources for everyone. And it actually got Ray to be like, we're going to double your budget. Like, this sounds too good to be true.
Right?
It's
too good to be true.
Does the new teacher come with that?
There you go. Prediction spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Well, that ending, when
we saw the ending.
He showed up.
We saw, like, I'm your replacement.
Right. I was like, what?
Excuse me, Mr. Stoneman. that is not your chalkboard.
Right.
His name is Mr. Stoneman.
But again, her acting, her face was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
What a
tragedy for her to have that happen, huh?
Oh, my God.
Well, the thing is, like, she just wanted good for her children, like her students.
That's all she wanted.
There's nothing wrong with asking more just so the students can have a better future, a better career.
There's double the students. They need it.
Well, it just reminds me of just today. We have crowding in schools. We need supplies. The parallels are just kind of crazy. And this show does it really well. I feel like this show, I can relate to a lot of things. The expansion of the railroad, where we live over in Culver City, and doing the expansion of the metro.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, it's a lot of stuff that to me is very relatable to today. So you don't watch the show, you should be watching it. It's really good. But I like that she was like, okay, I'll give you the money, because she really just wants to make sure everybody has a book. Everybody has a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Everybody has a pen. I mean, it's like that simple. So that's all she wants.
I think it was also the way Ray responded. It was very condescending.
Yes.
It's like, we are business, you are a teacher. Like, right. Oh no, he didn't.
I know, I was like...
Yeah, but once again, that's how the men thought of it. We talked about women back then.
Yeah,
it's a good thing you're in today's time, my dear.
We are on the right side of history, thankfully.
Thank God, right?
Oof. Or hopefully we're moving
past
that.
What a great time to be born, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could go, you broke your arm, you ain't going to die. If you cut your foot with a nail, you're going to probably make it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back then, there's a 50-50 chance.
Back then.
Ugh. Right?
There's right.
That's why the men are gloomy. And they're either working in a mine or they're working in a sawmill or, you know, working on a road.
Dangerous jobs.
Paul, I got soft hands. I couldn't work in no
What would you do in Hope Valley?
I used to be a nurse, so I guess I'd be in an infirmary.
You would help Faith, huh?
He'd organize the infirmary.
I organize the infirmary.
He's an organizer.
I'm an organizer now.
Are you
too,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I could do that.
You could be a life coach.
I could be a life coach.
You could be the therapist.
The therapist.
Hope Valley needs a therapist.
Hope Valley needs a therapist.
Well, Gowan needs to be talked to. Let's talk with Gowan.
Yes, we got a barber. Now we need a therapist.
I love it.
Anything else about this episode before we talk to you, Shane?
I think it's a great episode. And another great episode. It's really ramping forward. I mean, they're starting to. We got Abigail versus like Ray and Gowan. We have now Elizabeth versus this new teacher. You're at the cafe now. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Like, what does that mean?
And Claire wants to leave, so
and
you might actually take over that cafe.
She's going to
Claire's with
the dress shop.
The dress shop.
You picked that. The dress shop.
Like, she likes to sew.
Yeah, you said that. You totally said it. So I thought it was really good. So I think I'm really enjoying this season. This is becoming one of my favorite seasons.
Really?
I mean, it's a lot of story.
Lots of story. Mm-hmm.
Lots of story.
It's really got the Downton Abbey feel. Hey, there's such an ensemble.
Very ensemble.
And that's when I took on this project, too. I was speaking with Robin, one of the head writers, about it. And she goes, it's very much an ensemble cast. Mm-hmm. And everybody has their stories. And then they intersect and intertwine. And then they really affect each other. And I'd never been on a show that has that much.
Mm.
That many different stories interconnecting and causing drama in the other. I've never been on a show like this.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to you, because you have a lot going on, and you've done a lot of shows and movies for Hallmark and stuff, so, and you've worked with leading ladies of Hallmark. You worked with Candace and Danica McKellar, Barbara Niven, Lacey Chabert,
Erica Christensen.
Erica Christensen, love her.
Who is so great. Parenthood.
We like Parenthood.
How great is that show?
I did the Parenthood after show here at Apple TV.
It's got that This Is Us feel, but it's got even...
That's another great show.
How great is this?
Yeah,
so good. Last episode just like bawled my eyes out.
Don't tell me. I'm only on like the sixth one.
Oh,
but Parenthood, Erica told me this because we did that Anything for Love where I should have brought it. Right. You know, I'm going to give it on my Twitter. I have my Nurse Jack thing from the film I did with Erica, Anything for Love, and it's like I played a male nurse. Mm-hmm. And I have this, I found it in my drawer. I have this nurse tag that says Nurse. What was my name on that? What was it? I just said it. Jack. My name is Jack. Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, Jack Cooper. Jack Cooper.
Jack Cooper.
That's what it was. It was years ago. Anyway, I have had such a blast with these incredible leading ladies who in their own right have just such humongous careers when you think about it. Like, you know, Danica McKellar, everyone loved her as Winnie Cooper.
Oh, of course. Right. And she's so smart. Was she really smart when you saw her? I heard she's a mathematician. I know.
She's been here too.
She's so smart. She's such a wonderful person too.
Yeah.
Really.
She's super sweet.
She taught my son how to dance, like his first slow dance. Because in Campfire Kiss, there's like this high school or middle school dance. My son's in the movie. And Oliver has never done yet that awkward middle school dance. But he got to do it over and over again with a couple different extras in the film. And then I shot this video. It's like I couldn't stop. It was like a 2-minute video of Danica teaching Oliver like how to lead. It's unbelievable.
Here's what's so funny.
Dancing with the Stars, right? Both her and Candace.
Here's what's funny. He doesn't even get like my generation, her generation, like how important that is. He's dancing with Danica McKellar. Like my friends would just, my male friends would just die. Like, they don't, he doesn't even understand.
No, no, you're right.
Like, you're right. You know what I mean? Like, we get it.
Yeah.
But like, he doesn't even fully get that. That's like amazing.
No, but we have watched The Wonder Years, and, and so he kind of gets the correlate. Like, because he can look at 13-year-old Winnie and be like, dream, funny. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then
now
see her at her age now and be like, like that's her. So they can put it together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. 20 Years, great show.
It was a great show. I love the show.
Wonder Years. But yeah, Erica and Lacey was so incredible to work with. Yeah. And I'm just so blessed that Hallmark keeps giving me these really cool roles. Like, they're not, every time I read them, I'm like, yeah, I get to do this. And they have a great balance of giving the men enough to do and the women enough to do, that it's they're very much story about a girl.
Right.
But
right.
The guys, we're not just supporting. We have, like, number of pages, it's equal. Like, number of days working, it's usually equal. Sometimes a girl will have a few days to set up the beginning of the film where they're... But... I have gotten so many cool things to do as a male lead with these girls, and they've been on set since they were little kids. A lot of them.
They have
Candace Cameron, Full House, and
Lacey
too.
Lacey,
Party of Five,
and Party of Five. I just did another film with a girl who was on Party of Five named Heather McComb. Do you know her?
Her name sounds familiar.
She was also Ray Donovan.
Okay. Was she also in Full House? No, I'm thinking someone else.
Heather McComb. We just did a film called Sweet Home Carolina, and I just saw the we just went to the premiere of it.
Okay.
It's a sweet, like, romantic comedy, a little darker than like Hallmark movies. Her issues are a little deeper, and she's allowed to, you know, explore them a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. Movies and Mysteries Channel.
Possibly. No dead bodies, but... So to work with these girls has just been absolutely incredible. And then to get to work with Danica twice.
Yeah.
And we had to convince the network.
It's not a usual thing. Well, she just once and that's it, pairing once? Is that true?
Yeah, it's not. It hadn't happened on the...
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I watch a lot of them.
So are these just one pair? I guess one pair at a
time? Unless it's like not a franchise. You generally work with new people.
Because movies and mysteries they do have, because they're like of chapters franchise. Of books, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not on these. We had to convince them. We're like Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone. We had to go back and like Marilyn Monroe worked with what's his name twice. And we had to go to Cary Grant, and we had to
Fred and Ginger.
Fred and Ginger.
Right. We had to do a list of these are the couples that, and we had to convince them.
Wow.
And I'm glad we did. I really.
Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Yeah, that was one of them.
They did three movies together.
Three movies.
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey and
what's her name?
Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
I was thinking Drew Barrymore. No, they did. Adam Sandler.
There you go. So this is where we ended.
The list goes on and on.
Eventually they said yes. And we got to work together twice.
Well, they're excited for it. People are saying they're excited for the movie that's coming out. It's next Saturday, right?
This upcoming Saturday. You know what's funny? It's a true story. Side tangent. I went to go watch it on Saturday, and it wasn't there, and I realized it airs this week.
Saturday.
I was so excited to watch it because I was going to talk about it with you on the show. I was like, nope. I was off by a week.
You know, what's so, and obviously, you've obviously all noticed this, but during When Calls a Heart, they advertise Laurie's movies that are coming, and Aaron's movies that are coming, and my movie that's coming out.
Yeah, I do.
My son, we were watching it last night, and he goes, Dad, you're on the TV and on the TV. you're on it twice.
Yeah. That's cute.
He's been to Hope Valley a couple times, and he hung out with me on set there. And so, and I'm sure there's a great deal of Hardys that have actually got to visit the set.
Yeah.
How cool is that experience?
We went to HFR too. Yeah. That's where we first met you.
That's right.
There.
Did you guys go out to the town as well?
I went. It was fun.
It was so neat out there. Do not eat the eggs in Yost. Do not eat those eggs. Yeah. You will not be around. They've been there since the beginning. Look at Paul's getting cozy, putting his arm on James's shoulder.
That's so funny. We're buddies. That's why.
It's just
anyone getting jealous that James is getting to snuggle with Paul.
Yeah, why not?
It's a bromance. It's a bromance.
Why not?
Yeah.
You have a very
sturdy shoulder, don't I?
You sturdy shoulder.
My shoulder.
If I needed to cry, this is where I would go first, right here. No, you know what it is? We're both broad-shouldered men, so it's either we sit like this or we make some space. Why not?
It's aesthetically pleasing on camera.
Right. Totally bromance.
Yeah, it's a bromance.
That's how it really works.
That's how it works.
So, Paul, you mentioned that your son sometimes travels with you to set and like working on these Hallmark shows and movies. Is it difficult, like, traveling back and forth with family, or...?
It can be. I mean, Vancouver's fortunately quite nearby. It's 2.5 hours. When I was on a series before this called Bitten.
Toronto. Bitten.
And it was Toronto. And that was a flight. But my son, it was the summer, and he took a month off of school, and he was in Toronto with me for that month, which was so much fun. He loves being on set. He goes, like, the sound person, hangs out and, like, learns about... So he's just very, like, learning. And so it can be challenging. I'm in a really beautiful relationship with Katie. And you know, to just leave, I don't just leave her. I leave my son. But I also... Then my son's mom, who I have a very close relationship with, has to double up on the responsibility of making the lunches. Yeah. And, you know, so it's... It's like Paul's off living his dream, and it creates more work for the people here. So it is a team. Like,
it takes a village.
And it takes a lot of generosity on everyone's part. And I'm really grateful that the home team here really steps up and then also gets him to the airport to come visit me on the weekends and then picks him up. There's a lot. It takes so much generosity and love and kindness to keep it going, because when you're away, it's a real challenge. And fortunately, my relationship to my son's mom, who I'm divorced from, is very, very good. And it has been
good.
We've kept love is not a relationship. Love is just a commitment to love. It's not, if just because you're out of the relationship doesn't mean that you have to stop loving. Love is not a relationship. It's a Henry Miller quote.
I like that.
And when we, some people will probably disagree with it, and it's a controversial statement, but when we had our vows, they were to love each other till death do us part. It didn't say we're going to live under the same roof.
There you go.
It was to love each other. So in some ways, and in a way in our hearts, we haven't broken our vows because we still love each other. We're not fighting. We're not living in the same house, but we really are loving each other till death do us part. And so it's a really beautiful thing. And we're actually going to put a book together to help couples who are divorced to do it in a loving way that doesn't create an earthquake and a hurricane and destroy all the lives around them. You can still maintain the love even if you choose to not be in that relationship. And we're going to put and one of the chapters is Till Death Do Us Part.
I like that.
That's a great perspective on that.
Yeah.
Because people can like view it negatively in a terrible way like that. But that's such a great thing. And the fact that you're putting a book out there about it like even speaks more to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's hard because, we're adults, but we're also parents. Yeah. So there's a whole thing when you're adults. All those feelings being an adult.
Sure.
Then you have the feelings of being a parent and be there for the child and make sure that he's protected, or in my case, she's. It's like it's a hard thing. Really tough.
Yeah, and there's no, you're not, it's no handbook for it. No. You just figure it out as you kind of go.
Right.
And fortunately, we have these mentors that have gone before us, like my Larry Ethier, or my parents were incredible parents. Yeah. And then I have teachers that I, like books that I love reading about. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated with relationships and parenting. Like, they're two topics, and fitness, three topics that I really love to learn about and share what I've learned, too.
Yeah. Excellent. So we have some questions from the fans of When Calls the Heart on Facebook. Thank you, everyone, for submitting your questions. Nancy Kelklin asks, not counting your own, who is your favorite When Calls the Heart character and why?
Who is my When Calls the favorite When Calls
Who's
the
your
Heart?
Favorite character and why?
And why? That's really, really... You know, it's tricky because you haven't seen them yet, but I got some really amazing scenes with Carter, with Cody.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And him and I think it's because I miss my son, but on set, he and I just play and I've scared the crap out of him because there's in Abigail's Cafe when they shut the lights off, there's no like house lights, like the light, it's empty, it's dark. And I went in the back and he was in the front and it was in between and I was hiding back there and I was like going And he was so curious, and he comes and he's like, and he's looking in the back there, and I kept doing it just really quiet, and he got so curious that he wanted to come see what it was, that he got his mom, and they started to come, and at a certain point I snuck on my belly like really close to where they were, and I just jump up and just went like, wow, like a huge jump. And they turned and ran. And anyway, he and I, he's got probably my favorite actor because of I can play with him, and that's it makes fine. Me not miss my son as much. And then it has to be Erin after that, just because, you know, she's got such a witty, dry, hilarious sense of humor, and she's such a great actress as well. Do I really have to pick? I can just keep going.
You have to pick. That's it. You're done. You have to pick. You're not picking. You don't want to pick.
I don't want to pick.
No.
Does that answer your question?
Does that answer
it? It answers. Fine.
Nice question, Nancy.
Yes.
Ooh, is that a spoiler? Is it a spoiler?
No,
which one?
I don't know.
It was a spoiler.
That good coat.
Our good Hardy friend.
Scaring Carter.
Michelle D. Rose Mick asks, you know, what do you think of the Hardys? And now, having gone to HFR 2, will you go to HFR 3?
Oh, yeah. Of course. If I'm invited, I'll be there. I love the Hardys. And there's, call back to your word serendipitous. There's so much. When I met Jeanette Oak at Home and Family 2, Home and Family?
HFR 2.
Home and Family, something different. You were just there.
A lot of you Hardys that were there remembered I brought up the story of my grandmother. Do you remember that story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And to actually talk to Jeanette, who knew, and I never met my grandpa. He died a year before I was born, and she knew him by name, Wilfred. And I did more, and my grandma just passed, and there was two of Jeanette's cousins at my grandma's funeral.
That's so crazy.
So the Ruggles, which her maiden name, knew my family really well. And my grandma had just started rereading all of the books.
Oh, my God.
And I have a picture with my son and her in When Calls the Heart, the little book that she's reading. And my grandma just started rereading them, and she got to 15 books. And she's 94. And she had just started like a month ago. So she was blasting through it.
Yeah.
And so I think that the Hardys are super, really, really unique in the sense that they care and they care in a way that's like it's such a family. Like, they're way more influential than the Bitten fans, which is like sci-fi, which is quite a genre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're way more active and way more supportive, and just I've really received a warm welcome from them, not even knowing if I was good or bad or evil.
That's true, right?
And I took a picture of that. So
quite
sweet.
At least they got the picture. She took all the pictures at the.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Yeah, no.
So the Hardys have been so supportive. It's unbelievable. I love them.
Oh, we love them.
We
too.
Do love them. Very
and
much.
Before we wrap up, we know that the ALS is a very dear thing and close to your heart. Can you talk a little bit about your charity?
Yeah. Well, I'm involved with a couple different. I work with ALS.net, which supports this incredible biotech lab in Boston that does precision medicine to try and find a cure. And they're the only nonprofit biotech lab nonprofit that has 100% of their resources going towards finding a cure for ALS. And for those of you that don't know, ALS is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and it's Lou Gehrig's disease. And what Stephen Hawking still has and somehow is alive, which
the
average is 2 to 5 years.
Right.
So I think he has something else going on that's keeping his lungs from collapsing. It's quite a gnarly, gnarly disease to watch my dad, who is very strong and very manly, and go from flying airplanes and motorcycles to not being able to lift his arms in a really fast, really, really fast. Yeah. So I'm my brother and I so I did an art show here in Santa Monica at the Santa Monica Airport last year, and Hallmark was the one of the main sponsors that actually gave us the money to get started and to get the space that we needed to rent the hangar. And Candace, of course, and Danica, and every one of my co-stars that I've worked with came out and supported and donated a ton. And we raised $100,000 in 2 hours on a live auction.
Very good.
Wow. Yeah,
from really great artists. I mean, we had some really incredible. Shepard Fairey, you know, who does the Obey Giant.
Yeah.
He painted an ice bucket for us. So we had like 10 ice buckets, and Tay Diggs, my friend, did an ice bucket, and those were auctioned off. Danica did one of her books, and that book raised $300 just for this little book that was signed by her. Anyway, I'm committed with my brother, who's also a really beautiful artist. I'm going to try and get Steve and my brother to paint Hope Valley, that picture.
Yes.
He does oil on canvas, and I know there's a couple other. There's this amazing woman that did a portrait of that I saw. She painted of me
Jordan.
As Car. Is it Jordan?
Jordan Blackstone.
Oh, yeah, Blackstone. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
She
shout
is
out to Jordan.
Shout out to Jordan. Sorry, I forgot your name.
She's painting something for me right now.
Yes, she is for her.
She is. I requested something.
She's incredible.
Yeah, she is incredible.
Talented.
Really. So my brother, thank you for doing that. My brother and I are going to do another show, hopefully in the next few months here in Phoenix, where he lives.
Okay.
He's got a little art gallery there, and he's got his own paintings, and we're going to try. Candace has said she will give some of her books, and Linda Gray, you remember
Linda? I met her. I love her. She's so nice.
She also did some books for her. It's going to be a good ending, a happy ending to this story of ALS that doesn't end with just more people losing their fathers or their brothers we have the ability to do something about it, and I really think that we can do it.
Yeah. And before we end our show, as a thank you for joining us on AfterBuzz TV, we here, Maria, James, and I have donated to your ALS.
Your charity.
Oh, thank you, guys.
So thank you.
Yes. Really appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you. That is really sweet.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
I know.
It's been a great episode, but before we go, we have to do...
Oh, predictions.
Predictions.
Hey, predictions.
Oh, there it is.
It is. Yeah. Listen, see?
Your AfterBuzz TV.
Predictions.
Prediction time.
My voice is a little deeper than yours, sorry.
Oh, wow.
So good.
Predictions.
I have crazy predictions, you guys.
Predictions. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, like, I'm going to lay it down.
Do it, girl.
Doug, we like him so much. I have a I'm afraid he's going to die.
Same here.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to... Unfortunately... He's going to die. We don't know how, but the problems in the North...
He's turning away. He's turning away.
He's just that confirming preview. My diagnosis. Confirming, right?
No.
Yes.
I think Doug's going to die. Jack is going to feel responsible, and he's going to want to avenge his death. I see in the preview that there's a telegram. I think that's when he finds out about Doug's death.
And then
we also, I think Jack is eventually going to go and help the Mounties. They need him.
They need him.
And essentially, he's going to get drafted.
He has to go off. Like you said, it's a time period, right? He has to go off, right?
Interesting.
I think so, but I think the telegram that he gets, it's the news that his friend Doug died.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then when he comes, and then when Jack leaves and fights, he comes back and be like, Elizabeth, where have you been my whole life? We're going to get married. Please marry me.
Well, there you go, guys.
And that's the proposal.
Okay, I can see that.
Interesting.
Mm. We're all zooming to Paul's face, his reactions. He's turning to the side. You can't see his face.
Yep.
Uh huh. I don't know.
But yeah. see, the thing. The problem
you guys are doing great.
Doug is such a likable character.
Exactly.
I was like, no, he's going to die.
He's too likable. I agree. I agree with that.
Can't get attached to him. All right, James, real quick before we leave.
No, I mean, I was going to say, I think he's going to die. It's going to catapult Jack and Chew further, and the teacher fight's gonna be really tough. Elizabeth's gonna have to really look into herself. Like, she came as a teacher; that's what she came here for.
Uh-huh.
She's gonna fight for those students. It's gonna be tough. That guy is not gonna be good.
She's saying, "Don't worry." I think this problem's like, one and done.
Yeah,
get out of here, Mr. Stoneman.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
This was so much fun.
You guys are terrific. I really enjoyed myself.
Welcome back anytime.
Okay.
Yes, anytime.
So thank you, Hardys, for joining us every single week. James, where can we follow you?
Oh, wait. Hi, I'm James Lott Jr. You can follow me at James Lott Jr. on all social media platforms.
And Paul, where can everyone keep following you?
Paul Green Media on Twitter and PG Tipper with two P's on Instagram.
Great, and you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing.
Comment.
And we have more fun things coming. Thanks so much, Paul, and we will see you next time.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Bye, Hardys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later. Nice stab in the face.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.